SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Individual Defensive Podcast brought to you by In This League. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Gary Davenport, as always, at IDP Sharks on the Twitter machine. Gary, what's going on, man? Big win for the Browns. I mean, huge win for the Browns, the Niners. The NFL continues to not make sense. Somehow, Steelers get massacred by the Browns or by the Niners. They beat the Browns, and then the Browns beat the Niners, who massacred the Steelers. The triangle and the circle of life is never ending here in the NFL, Gary.
Hey, that Cleveland defense is legit, apparently. I mean, we wondered, you know, they hadn't exactly played a high level of opposition, and the one real opponent that they had played, the Baltimore Ravens, you know, kind of laid it to Cleveland. But you look at that game, the quarterback play for the Browns kind of put the defense in an untenable position.
Right.
And in the other games, I mean, you know, they beat the Steelers if they don't give up a couple of defensive touchdowns.
Sure.
And they're leading the league in total defense, pass defense. I think they're fourth against the run, right up there in scoring defense. And, you know, they just totally put the clamps on a 49ers offense. So, now, granted, Debo Samuel left the game and Christian McCaffrey left the game, but they completely shut down a team that had just dropped 42 on the Dallas Cowboys. So,
and Brock Purdy looked like garbage.
If Cleveland can get the offense, you know, get Deshaun Watson back out there and, you know, get something out of the run game, which they kind of did against San Francisco, at least cobbled together a halfway decent ground game. And makes me wonder how good the team could be if Nick Chubb was healthy. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. So we were talking before the show, Steelers and Longhorns on a bye week. Strange for me to not have an enormous rooting interest outside of my fantasy teams and stuff this weekend. But let's talk about some of the guys that had the big weekends. I mean, Danielle Hunter had two sacks. Jordan Hicks had 10 stops, a sack, a pick, and a touchdown. So Minnesota's defense against Chicago, pretty strong. Foye Olakun, 10-5 with two pass deflections. Levante David had 9-3 and a sack. Blake Cashman had 20 points, 9-6, two pass deflections. Kendall Fuller, 9 solo stops and a pick. And Taron Johnson, 9-6. So a lot of big performances here, nothing overwhelming like we've kind of had the last 2 weeks where, you know, somebody has 20 stops or has a pick six and two sacks or the six sack, you know, Khalil Mack game or anything, but big performers here. And Blake Cashman looked great for Houston, and they are like changing their entire linebacker rotation. And you can really tell D'Amico Ryans is not sitting on his hands. In Houston, he is just rotating guys in and out and trying different combinations to find one that works. And it looks like it might be the two young guys in Houston with Toyoto and Cashman at linebacker there.
You know, the only problem is I think Denzel Perriman was inactive because of the hand injury. And he tried.
They said he was a healthy scratch.
Oh,
I thought, let me double check, but I'm pretty sure.
I figured it was because of the hand, because he had worn a club on that hand the week before and played like 45% of the snaps and wasn't especially effective. So I figured it had something to do with the hand. It makes me wonder what's going to happen, because in week 7, they're in a bye.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what the linebacker rotation, I mean, I think it's going to be Cashman and Toa again in week 8. But, you know, is it going to be one of those situations where you're going to get a lot of people who are going to throw fab and go crazy and grab Blake Cashman and plug him in there in week 8, and then he's going to turn around and play 25% of the snaps and it's going to be somebody else? I mean, I don't know.
RotoWire is saying it was a healthy scratch, so I don't know, you know.
And that might be the case, which is, so we started the season with Denzel Perryman and Christian Harris, and now we're Henry Toa and Blake Cashman.
Yeah, because Harris played, but he only played 11% of the snaps. Cashman was in for 100%. He was in a 96% the previous week where Harris was hurt, and Perryman was up, and Perryman only played 45% last week. But Toto, 97%, 95, 95, 81. He was 34% the first week. That was the Harris and Perryman week. But after that, it was Perryman and Toto. Then it was 95% Toto, and then kind of 63 and 62 for Cashman and Harris. A lot of three linebacker sets that week. Following week was Toto and Harris. In the last 2 weeks, it's been Toto and Cashman. And it looks like that may be what we're settling on here. So interesting.
Here we go.
And they're going to be on defense a lot. So
here we go. Aaron Wilson, 23 hours ago. D'Amico Ryan's on Denzel Perryman being inactive. He's a fighter. We didn't think it would be beneficial for him to be out there with one hand.
Okay.
He's got a broken bone in his hand and played with the, you know, how they put that big club to where you don't really have a hand anymore. You just have like a clobber.
Yeah, yeah.
The week before, it was out there for like 40-something percent. So, again, the question for me is going to be,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh!
If Perryman's hand is better in 2 weeks, is he going to be out there? Or is it going to be Cashman? And if it's not better in 2 weeks, once it is better, again, is Denzel Perryman going to reclaim his starting job? So, I mean, for right now, I mean, obviously not week 7, but in week 8, I would guess Cashman will be safe. But Blake Cashman could be a guy that carries, you know, like the milk in your refrigerator and expiration date.
Yeah, for sure. No milk in my refrigerator, of course, but,
well, you gotta have some milk in your refrigerator for cereal, man.
I don't eat cereal, but
what the hell is wrong?
Hey, look, you? If I'm eating breakfast, man, I'm getting eggs.
You gotta eat. Everybody eats cereal once in a while, man. What kind of weirdo?
I can't tell you. I have not had cereal in years and years and years. So I don't know.
I didn't know that I was co-hosting a podcast with a psychopath.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit for sure. Looking at Cashman's grades here on PFF, he was pretty good. He's been pretty solid the entire season. This was his worst week as a starter. They graded him as a 74, but above average in everything but coverage. So, I mean,
pretty decent. I can remember him starting a little bit in, I want to say, New York for the Jets.
Yeah. Well, they had, remember when Mosley went down and then like all of those linebackers started getting hurt. And it was like this young defense of, you know, Quinn and Williams was the only good player. And then it was like Cashman and Ashton Davis up the middle behind him. I think I don't even know that Quincy was there at that point. So, we've seen Cashman play, but it was for some bad defenses. So, but I mean, guy was good in college. He's instinctual. So interesting to see. Jalen Ramsey could start practicing this week, Gary, and they're saying he is far ahead of schedule. I mean, I get far ahead of schedule, but this is almost like, I just don't believe it. Do you think we're going to see Jalen Ramsey? I mean, it seems like we're definitely going to see him at some point this year if he could start practicing this week, but are we going to see him before December? I guess.
Believe it when they open the 21-day practice window. Because once they open the 21-day practice window, you got 21 days to either activate him to the active roster or put him back on injured reserve for the rest of the season. So when they open the window, then you can believe it. Until then, it just sounds like coach speak to me.
We also had Budda Baker might be able to practice this week. Is this something where you know, Buda Baker practices, if he's questionable, you're just rolling him no matter what?
Depends on your other options. I mean, I think if you're in a position where you can afford to hold off and wait and make sure that he's good for a week, then maybe I would go ahead and do that. But, you know, some people aren't, especially, you know, we're headed into the bi-pocalypse this week, half a dozen teams on bye, and the Cardinals are beat up at safety. I know Jalen Thompson didn't play this past week. So, I mean, it, on some level, it would kind of make me sad because I've got quite a few shares of Kayvon Wallace, and he's been all right for me. But, you know, c'est la vie. So it goes with defensive backs. I'll just have to head to the waiver wire and grab somebody else. I'll go grab Metellus, the kid from Minnesota, who's actually he's a slot defensive. He's had, I think, at least half a dozen tackles every game this season.
He's been so good. I mean,
and him and Cameron Bynum. I mean, the Vikings are just popping out them surprise defensive backs like pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, I mean, I was, I think it's part of, you know, it's part of playing against the Vikings too, because so much offense from them typically. I mean, not this week, they only scored 19 points, but, you know, and also the guys in front not making the tackles is a big part of it, but. Yeah, I mean, Bynum has been good the whole year. Metellus has had multiple good weeks, so both decent options right now. LVE placed on IR. I feel like that's got to be a wrap.
I wouldn't expect to see him again anytime soon. Damo Clark was out there, I want to say, 99% of the snaps Monday night against the Chargers.
Look good.
So he would be the if you're going after one of those Cowboys linebackers, that would seem to be the one to pursue. That's a higher snap percentage than Vandereft was playing. I mean, Vandereft was usually high 70s, low 80s, I want to say right off the top of my head. So, I mean, and I believe Clark led the Cowboys in tackles. So he's a decent, I don't know if he'd be my top linebacker waiver pickup this week. That would probably be Dorian Williams in Buffalo. Because it appears that mystery has been settled, whether it was going to be Dorian Williams or
Dodson.
Right. Although it's one of those deals also where all it's going to take is one bad game from Williams.
Yeah. He's
and we already saw it in that first game where Mulatto went down. Williams went out there to begin with. Then he whips on three or four tackles and all of a sudden it's Dodson. So Dorian Williams would be my top priority, probably linebacker this week, just because of the opportunity I see there and what he was able to do in a not great matchup with the Giants. But don't be surprised if 3 weeks from now you're looking at him like, well, crap, and throwing him back to the waiver wire. Kind of like I'd spent 40% of my Butkus division fab on Kamu Grugier-Hill, got one lousy good game out of him.
Oh, man.
And, you know,
I might be back up. Luvu got hurt again. So
it's a 14 team. I mean, deep 11 IDP starters, 14 teams. So anyone with half a pulse is already taken. So when you think a guy might be there, you got to throw some fab at him. So I regret it a little bit, but I don't regret it that much. Let's put it this way. I picked up Oren Burks right before Sunday's games and wound up starting him this past week.
He did all right.
And was I think 4-4. Yeah. It wasn't terrible for that league. And for like my fifth linebacker, it wasn't awful. But that's what that league is like. And you got three offensive flex starters too. So you'd be rolling out some wide receivers that you would never think about starting in another league.
Kyle Hamilton was ejected, Gary. Yeah. I mean, was that deserved? I was not up early enough. I've watched the replay of kind of half and half on it. I mean, what do you think?
I guess. I mean, I don't know that I would. I'd see the logic behind it, but, you know, I can remember a day when you could hit people in football, so I'm not great. I'm not huge on unless it's just super egregiously blatant throwing a guy out of the game for it. But,
yeah,
you know, that's just it's the kind of hit that they're just trying to get out of the game of football, and they figure the best way to do that is to throw the guy out of the game, and I'm pretty sure that come probably Wednesday afternoon when Mr. Hamilton goes to his locker, there will be an envelope waiting for him from the National Football League.
It also,
looks the opposite of a check, a bill.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to give some money to charity, Kyle Hamilton. Here it goes.
Well, you ain't really, you're not really giving it to charity either.
The NFL gives it to charity.
Right. They're taking it for charity.
Yeah. They're taking it. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. The NFL's Robin Hood, right? They're altruistic. We all know that. There's never.
Oh, absolutely. NFL, I mean, you know, there's all the pink stuff in October and the salute to service with all the camo merchandise. None of that whatsoever is a cash grab by the NFL so that they can sell more crap.
It's definitely not like only 20% of the cancer merchandise goes to, cancer research.
I love that you think it's 20%.
Isn't it like,
I think it's lower than, I think it's like 10 or 12%. Yes, I believe it is.
I knew it was less than 50. I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure I saw a thing on Real Sports that, I mean, the number is just.
Well, hopefully they got called out and changed that, but I don't know.
Yeah. How could we be to allow yourself to be surprised by that?
Yeah.
You just obviously don't pay attention to the NFL.
Well, any charitable organization.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's his
name? In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
That's
like, you know what I mean? There's always some.
Oh, especially the bigger ones.
The CEO was on an island with a bunch of hookers, you know, like it's a lot of that stuff. But
that's
anyway,
why, honestly, when I give charity, I usually try to go with smaller organizations because I figure more of my money is actually going to be put to use as opposed to paying for administrative fees and overhead and a bunch of executive salaries and that sort. Not, and I'm not saying that organizations like the Red Cross and the Salvation Army don't do good work. That's not fair to them. I just think that too much of the money gets spent in areas where it shouldn't be.
By the way, it's 12.5%. Google is telling me it's 12.5%.
There you go. So like $1 out of 8.
12.5%.
Yeah, you know. One out of every $8 goes to...
Oof. Yeah, I mean, okay. Well, let's stick to football here. Let's talk about some of these injuries on the NFL or on the defensive side here. And by the way, like the Kyle, going back to the Kyle Hamilton and all that stuff, it's, you know, I think the reason he got tossed was because Chris Moore was, I mean, looked like a wreck. He tried to stand up. He was holding his hand above his head, like, take me out of the game. He was wobbly. He looked like a baby giraffe, all that stuff. So like, you're going to get, it's a bad look. And
right.
The refs honestly might be working off of that for part of it. Like, look,
it's probably part of it. And, you know, it may not have anything to do with the on-field officials. They could have come, it very well may have come down from New York. They may have said eject him. And a lot of times with ejections, that is what happens. It's not necessarily the guys on the field. It's they get a buzz in their ear from, hey, numbers 50, whatever is out.
I feel like you said, unless it's absolutely 100% unnecessary, I would have a hard time throwing a guy out of a game. So, but you know, that's why I'm not a ref. So, the injuries on the defensive line, we had a couple here. Montez Sweat with the sprained thumb. I wouldn't expect him to keep him out for an extended period of time, if at all. Marcus Davenport, however, a high ankle sprain, so he's going to be gone for a while.
Davenport's hurt.
Yeah, I was surprised he played, to be honest with you. Josh Uche with the foot injury and Keon White with a concussion. I mean, Keon White's actually having a pretty solid season right now. So I'm disappointed to see him on the concussion protocol because that is almost always at least a week. So I'm not sure. I know you said it's bi-pocalypse. Are the Patriots on a bye? I don't have it in my brain.
No, the Patriots are at home against Buffalo, so they're going to wish they were on a bye.
So it's Carolina, Cincinnati, Dallas, Houston, the Jets, and Tennessee. Those are the teams that are on.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not a bunch of really good teams, but still, man, I hate these damn 16 byes. I don't know why the NFL does this. I don't know, because last week we have 2 teams off. This week we have 6 teams off. Why don't you just have 8 weeks with 4 teams off, 32 teams? Why?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things the NFL needs to fix.
Well, it just seems to make sense. You go like week 5, week 6, week 7, week 8, week 9, week 10, week 11, week 12. And that way you're not going into week 13 and week 14 with damn bye weeks either.
How is it not two of these six teams are playing on Thursday night? Why not? Why wouldn't you put two of these teams on Thursday night? You have the extended period of time off, so make them play a little early, and then you're giving them extra rest for the next week, too. I don't understand this at all, but it's not the way.
I'm sure they have some sort of reasoning behind the way they do it, but I just don't understand why you don't just have 8 weeks. You got 32 teams, take four teams, give them the week off for 8 weeks. Then it would help fantasy football because we would have fewer bye weeks overall. So it would compact those into, like I said, you know, like from week 5 to week 12 to where they're not infringing upon the fantasy playoffs in some.
They don't care about us.
Why would you care about a multi-multi-billion-dollar industry that greatly increases fan engagement and helps make the NFL millions and millions of dollars?
Yeah. And by the way, if you made IDP, a normal thing in these leagues, you'd have even more people, I feel like, or at least more people would enjoy the draft, you know, because now you have interest in who the linebackers are, who the defensive linemen and defensive backs and all that stuff. But not our call. Frankie Louvu with the hip, so maybe Grugier Hill. Gets in there.
They're on a bye.
If Frankie has to miss any time. Anthony Walker with the concussion. We'll see what's going on with him against the Colts. They're deep. Browns are deep at linebacker as well. I mean, I know there's more defensive backs than anything else on the field, and they play higher snap percentages than the linemen, so they're more likely to get hurt and all that stuff, but it is a ridiculous week for defensive backs getting hurt. Reed Blankenship with the ribs again. Eddie Jackson with a foot again. Xavien Howard with a groin. Caleb Evans with an oblique. Adoree Jackson with a neck. Antonio Hamilton with a groin. Bradley Roby with a shoulder. Eric Murray with a knee. Tyson Campbell with a knee. Marcus Williams again with a hammy. I mean, there's probably someone I missed in there as well, Gary. Which injuries are you worried about here?
You hate to see the ones where it's a guy that's re-aggravating an injury that he already had. And Blankenship has been so good when he's been on the field. I mean, he's been just consistently productive. So those are the guys that you hate to see go down. And, you know, the Eagles are not on bye this week. They've got a big one coming up against the Miami Dolphins.
God, that's going to be a good Sunday night game.
Yeah, well, it should be better than the last one, that's for sure, which I cover the Sunday night game every week for Bleacher Report. I do game reaction. So I'm looking forward to that one. Although – that Eagles defense is not as good as it was last year. And that secondary, especially, I think they're 26th or 27th in pass defense. That's not a good number when you're going up against Miami.
Yeah, I think they're better on the line, but the secondary is bad. So it's been,
it's kind of weird. They've got, you know, you got Darius Slay and James Bradbury at corner. I know they're not getting any younger, but apparently not having Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back there is a bigger, you know, blow than the Eagles expected it to be. And you need to be playing at your best against the pass when Miami comes into town, because they go to throw the ball on you.
Yeah, you got to hit Tua. You got to get to him. So, which makes me nervous every time I see Tua get hit, by the way. Absolutely.
Every time Raheem Mostert gets tackled, my heart jumps into my throat every time.
Three TDs.
It seems like it's three TDs every damn week. He's winning people leagues right now, but knowing his durability, his injury history,
he's been outstanding. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the big performers, who let you down, and who you could possibly pick up for this week. We'll be right back.
The race has started at Shortline Buick GMC. Shortline is in the race for number one volume Buick GMC dealer in Colorado. No matter if it's a luxurious SUV or a truck you need, Shortline has the inventory in stock to fit your needs. Come in today and find out why more shoppers than ever before are visiting 1301 South Havana Street. At Shortline, you do the driving, we'll do the rest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Gary, let's start at defensive line. I mentioned before, Neil Hunter with the two sacks. Christian Wilkins also got to Bryce Young twice. We had a sack from Sam Hubbard along with four and three. Max Crosby with a sack and a half. This says half a sack, but he got the safety too, which is a sack and a half.
I think he shared the safety with Bilal Nichols.
Then it should be one sack because he had the half before that. So I only know this because this was one of my bets I picked this week and I won it. So I don't know why it says half sack. Should be one.
I don't know. Elias will change it on Thursday and screw some poor person out of their IDP match.
Well, it might be me. That's why I'm looking at it getting mad. So let me just see what the official box score says here. Because I could have swore it said a sack and a half. And no, it says half a sack. So I guess I missed that one as well. I don't understand. Does the safety not count as a sack when it's against the quarterback?
I would think it would count as a sack.
Okay.
It's a sack.
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird. Anyway, Josh Allen, 4-3 and a sack with a forced fumble as well. Bosa, Chris Jones, John Cooper, Trey Hendrickson, Jonathan Allen, and Javon Hargrave, all the guys listed over 50% that scored 8 or more points for you along the defensive line in a tackle-heavy league. The disappointments are abundant this week. So many guys under 4 points. Your boy Myles Garrett with another 3, Aiden Hutchinson, Brian Burns, Jeffrey Simmons, Joey Bosa, all with 3 points only. Cam Jordan at 2.25, Thibodeau, Kwity-Paye, Nwosu, Dexter Lawrence, Chase Young, Jalen Phillips, and Ed Oliver. Are we starting to worry about Jalen Phillips? He only had 43% of snaps here.
That was his first game back.
Okay, so I was going to say working his way back.
Right. I don't know that I'd be overly concerned. Cam Jordan I might be a little worried about just because the numbers just don't seem to be there, and he is, I think, 34, so you wonder if maybe Father Time is finally catching up to him. And Joey Bosa, it's a similar situation to Jalen Phillips. He had a toe, was questionable, game-time decision-type deal right up until...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey.
In this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Started that game with the Cowboys, and Bosa wasn't playing his normal snap complement.
And Thule has looked so good, too. They have no reason to rush him back.
Right. Bosa was just coming in like, obvious passing situation. So I wouldn't freak out there. Yeah, and then, like you said, with Thule playing the way he is, you know, they can go more of a three-man rotation now. So,
are you worried about anybody else on this list? I mean, Kwity-Paye, once again, you know, he's coming off injury, too. I don't know that I'm worried about him. I don't know. Kayvon Thibodeau is boom or bust. Myles Garrett's getting double triple teamed. I'm not too worried about him.
Well, Garrett's nicked up too.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody else you are worried about?
Not really. And I mean, even like Cameron Jordan, I'm not dropping worry about him.
Sure.
I don't know that there's a better option available out there on the waiver wire, but I maybe look at the other guys I have available to me and sit him for a week. I don't know who the Saints.
I
know the Saints are home.
They're on Jacksonville on Thursday.
Yeah, see, that's I would probably be inclined to look elsewhere this week because, one, Jacksonville's not a great pass rush matchup. And, two, honestly, I don't like to start guys on Thursday night unless I have to.
I'm 50-50 on it. Thursdays are just always so weird. That's bad football every week, you know.
That's why I just assume it seems like if I sit them, they blow up. If I start them, they do nothing. But, yeah, the Thursday guys.
Yeah, Thursday guys are not.
And that's apt to be a game where Jacksonville's playing from ahead. And the Saints defense, the Saints are playing really well defensively. They're just not getting any help from the offense.
Derek Carr hasn't looked the same since his injury. So
they just can't score any points. It's not that they're not moving the football. And you look at the skill position talent and stuff, and you would think,
O-line is bad. Derek Carr doesn't have a lot of time to pass. Alvin Kamara is getting 25 touches a game and not doing a ton with it. He's not doing nothing. He's still getting like around 100 yards, but with 25 touches for a guy like Alvin Kamara, should be way more than 100 yards. They're not giving him a lot of run room. So it's the O-line, I feel like, in New Orleans.
But with Jacksonville playing the way they are, I would be inclined to think the Saints might be in some trouble Thursday night.
Yeah, Jacksonville finally looked really good this week. Of the performers rostered under 50%, and had some big weeks. Justin Madubuike for Baltimore had 2 sacks. Not just that, if you're in a defensive tackle, league here, this guy's been playing a high snap percentage as well. I think it was 76% of the snaps in this game, and over the course of the season, just pulling him up 74, 60, 76, 57 was his low week 4, 73, 78. So along the interior of the Ravens line, he is the guy that has been huge here. So a decent option in defensive tackle league. Sheldon Rankins also up there, had a sack. He had 12 points. Bradley Chubb, Clowney, Morgan Fox looked good for the Chargers. Casey Tuhill had a big game when other guys aren't for Washington. Granderson, Joe Tryon, Choinka, DJ Wanham. Who on the line are you liking to pick up this week, Gary?
That list, I would say Tryon and Chubb would probably be my top two targets, and I would probably lean toward – Chubb doesn't have a great matchup this week, but his tackle numbers have been really good too. He's got like 13 tackles in a sack over the past couple weeks, and anytime I can learn and get an edge rusher, defensive lineman, whatever you want to call him, that's, routinely putting up those 5-6 tackles a week, it gives you that floor to where if you don't get a sack, you're not staring at a donut come Monday morning. So that would probably be my top two. Like you said, Madubuike, if you're in a league that requires defensive tackles, I don't know that I'm rushing to roll him out in a league that doesn't separate the two just because.
Yes.
He's a space eater. So he's a guy that's usually going to get you 2-3 stops, mix in a sack once in a while.
For the linebackers here, Gary, just the guys that are rostered over 50% are playing well. Hicks and Foyer, obviously, over 20 points. So was Lavonte David. He had 9-3 in a sack. Logan Wilson had 9-2 in a sack. Quincy Williams, another 9-3. Okereke, Al-Shaair, Edwards, Queen, Mosley, Bernard, Singleton, Barton, Anzalone, Lloyd, Kaiser White, Demario Davis, Ernest Jones. All of these guys, 12 points or more, having huge weeks. Only one guy on the disappointment. It was Bobby Wagner, which is, I don't know that throughout the course of this show, we have seen Bobby Wagner on this list without an injury. So he played 100% of the snaps, and he only had 2 solos and 2 assists.
The Bengals have just been an absolute trash matchup for linebackers this season because of their
Everything's all outside, right? So
yeah, and their offense is just, I know the Bengals are winning again and they're back to 500. But they only had like 220 yards of offense in that game. They are not moving the ball. They are not sustaining drives. And when you're not sustaining drives, you're not creating tackle opportunities for opposing defenders. So, yeah, I know Wagner killed me in a couple leagues, but it's nothing to worry about. He's Bobby flipping Wagner. It's just what there is to worry about, and we don't have to worry about this in week 7 because of the bye apocalypse. Is knocking the Bengals off the board for us, is that they're just an awful matchup for linebackers this year. And it's weird because you can look back to 2022, 2021, 2020. I'll bet you all three of those seasons that the Bengals were a favorable matchup for linebackers, and especially the last couple of years, probably top five in fantasy points allowed the position. And they have free fallen to the bottom of the – they are the Kansas City Chiefs of linebacker matchups this year. And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, it has not been fantastic here. On the linebackers that you could potentially pick up, but like we said, there's not a lot to drop. You're not dropping Bobby Wagner. Everybody else is playing pretty solid here. I mean, Blake Cashman, we talked about before, had 9-6 with two passes defended. Jamin Davis had 4-4 with a sack, 2.5 sacks for Hassan Reddick. In Fantrax, he only qualifies as a linebacker. I know he's a tweener on most sites. Tavai, even though he only played like 76% of the snaps, still had 6-1. Micah McFadden had 3-4, a fumble recovery and a pick. Kenneth Murray, 8-1. Byron Young in here as well, more of a lineman as well. You talked about Dorian Williams before. Jack Gibbons had 6-3 on only 68% of the snaps. Damone Clark, Willie Gay, JOK, and Nate Landman, all over 10 points as well, Gary. You talked to us a little bit before about Cashman and Dorian Williams being the guy over Dotson. Is there anybody else in this list that you are making room for?
Landman needs to be rostered. He's playing an every down role for the Falcons. JOK, I would say, is probably going to merit a spot in most leagues, especially if Anthony Walker can't go this week. And Kenneth Murray would be at the top of the list, above Dorian Williams, above everyone. Kenneth Murray should absolutely be rostered in more than 50% of leagues. People are living in the past when Kenneth Murray sucked and the coaches hated him. Now Kenneth Murray sucks and the coaches like him. And he's out there playing 100% of the snaps. I think he took the green dot duties and is playing more snaps than Eric Kendricks now. Kendricks is coming off the field at times. Kenneth Murray is not. So that would be my number one guy. But if you've got like Murray and Landman and Dorian Williams and even JOK available to you in your IDP league and they're sitting on your waiver wire at linebacker, I envy you, because right now I'm looking at my linebackers in a couple of leagues and looking what's on the labor wire and trying to talk myself into like Jelani Tavai. So be grateful. If you've got options at the linebacker position on your waiver wire, Thanksgiving has come early, and be thankful.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are 40% rostered, so they're high JOK.
It's just those every down linebacker.
Reddick, Jamin Davis. Yeah.
Every down line. And guys like McFadden, he isn't even really truly an every down linebacker. He's usually about 75%. Davis had dropped into the 60s. Now he's back up around 80%, I think, the past few weeks, which is good. He'd be another guy you could add to the list, is Jamin Davis. But that's the thing. We're just, you know, especially with true position turning so many linebackers into defensive linemen or edge rushers or whatever you want to call them, those every down linebackers have just become that much more valuable, and that list has gotten shorter, so those guys all get gobbled up. And I knew Hassan Reddick was going to turn it around. I wish he'd had more than one assist in the first three games total, one assist. But now I think that puts him at 5.5 sacks for the season through half a dozen games. So, I mean, he's right where you want him to be. So that's just the way it goes with defensive linemen, which with most fantasy providers, that's what he's classified as a defensive lineman. That's just how it goes. Sometimes you're just going to have to go through that 2-3 week stretch where they do absolutely nothing.
Because you're going to everybody. I mean, Aaron Donald has had it. Miles Garrett has had it. TJ,
I think his last three games have been 2 sack, 1 sack, 2.5 sacks. So you look at over the last 3 weeks, he's probably one of the, if not the highest scoring defensive lineman in fantasy football. So you had the famine to begin the season. Now you are enjoying the bounty of the feast. It's just how it, that having a consistent defensive lineman is better But don't go. And I know of a couple leagues where Hassan Reddick got panic dropped. And right now, the managers to do that, panic drops will almost.
I mean, my big thing with Reddick and the reason why he was putting up those poor numbers in the first couple of games was because the Eagles were holding the ball for like 40 minutes of the game. Like, the defense was never out there. So if you don't make your play in, you know, whatever it is, 60% of the snaps you're used to seeing, you're not making a play. And that's what, he's a big play dependent guy. So
he'll get some pass rush opportunities this week.
Yeah, exactly. Against the Dolphins. And now that they're gonna have to go point for point, he will absolutely be put in a position to make some plays. Let's go to the defensive backs here, Gary. And you know, it's a normal, some of these guys that are rostered perform, but way more guys that aren't rostered perform well. It's just the way defensive back goes. But Cam Curl had 8-3, which was a nice day for him. 3 passes defended. Kevin Byard, 8-2. Cam Bynum again on this list. He's only 71% rostered. None of these guys are 90% rostered, by the way. They're all 80%, 81% or lower. Rashawn Jenkins had 13.25 points. Justin Simmons. Yeah, he's not good anyway. I don't like Rashawn Jenkins. Justin Simmons, Dax Hill, Jaquan Brisker, all with over 10 points here.
Hey, Jaquan Brisker signing. Again,
there he is.
It's about damn time, Jaquan.
Half a sack, a forced fumble, 3-3, look good too. So hopefully we're rolling downhill with Brisker moving forward. The guys that are, there are more guys that were rostered over 50% that had fewer than 6 points. Julian Love, Kyle Duggar, Richie Grant, who've all been good. Antoine Winfield, Kevon Wallace, Siobhan Holland, Derwin James, Kyle Hamilton got ejected. Jeremy Chinn only played 39% of the snaps. Did he get hurt and I missed
it? No, that's
he had a donut.
That's what he's doing now. That's his weekly thing now, is like 40%, 45% of the snaps playing some kind of weird slot star role. Jeremy Chinn's dead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league,
somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Man, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe. I feel like I'm in Marvel's What If with Gary recommending Jabril Peppers. Are they going to give him some plays at running back like Michigan?
You know, he's not fantastic, but he's been, you know, he'll go out there and get you 7 or 8 stops, it seems like. So, especially with 6 teams on bye, if you just need like a 1 week, I don't know that any of those guys I just mentioned are guys that I'm picking up thinking these are guys that I'm going to be starting for a month. They're all like, okay, these are guys that I'm going to pick up to patch a hole in my lineup 4 weeks out.
Let's
1 week get you through the bye apocalypse, or you've got a guy banged up.
Before
these are less hammer and nails than duct tape.
Before I let you go, Gary, I got to get your live reaction to Julio Jones signing a deal with the Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah. This is ultimate ring chasing. I mean, he's never going to play. When's he going to get on the
field? Why would you sign with Kansas City? I mean, it would seem like they need wide receiver help. I thought the top two wide receivers in Philly were kind of set.
Yeah, well, he's definitely third at best. I mean, maybe you put him in over Olamide Zaccheaus or Quez Watkins. But
those guys are getting targeted. Like crazy. I mean, I'm not going to fault the Eagles for doing it, I guess. Yeah,
he's ring chasing. It's fine. Yeah. So just interesting that happened as we were recording. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, follow Gary at IDP Sharks on the Twitter. Follow me at Bogman Sports. And we'll be back for you next week. Most likely. I might be traveling next week, but it's probably the following week. So just stick with us. Follow us on Twitter. You'll see when the show pops up. That is going to wrap it up for us. We will see you guys later. Take it easy.
The Bill Pepper's still stuck. It's just a 1 week thing.
There it is. I knew it was coming.